Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to mikereinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today.
Hey everybody, on this episode, we're gonna talk about training the contralateral limb after an injury, finding a job for a good fit for you, and restoring motion in somebody with hip impingement.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Ask Mike Reinold podcast. Mike Reinold here. I'm with Lenny Macrina. What's up?
What's up? I had an itchy ankle. Sorry.
What's up? We got the Gabinator here. I don't know how that happened. But
Episode 5, right?
Episode 5.
So this is when the Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Episode 5, the Empire Strikes Back. We're going to go with that.
Yeah.
would you be a rebel, or would you be... What's the other ones? They're rebels and then the Empire.
Yeah.
But then in the new one, they're different. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. In the new one, they're different, right?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
All right. Crazy. Welcome back, everybody. We are busting away at this podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying and doing this here. We get another few great questions for today. So, Gabe, let's start it up, buddy.
All right. First one comes from Norway.
Norway. We're getting a lot of international ones. I like that. Good stuff, Norway. What's his name?
Joe Hagen.
Joe. What's up, Joe? Thanks for submitting a question.
What is your view of unilateral strength training on the contralateral side, and do you implement it in your training program for athletes slash clients?
All right. What is your view on unilateral training on the contralateral side,
yeah,
and do you use it with who?
Do you implement your training program for athletes and clients?
And do you do that with athletes and clients? All right, so what I would assume you're saying, if you're talking contralateral, I assume you're saying that there's an injury. So like you hurt your left leg, and your question is, do you work on the right leg? So, wow, Gabe, I need your input here. Going back to neuroanatomy here, the desiccation, right? Of stump. I mean, a lot of your motor fibers desiccate or don't desiccate. This is not my world, as you're figuring out here, right? So there's a certain amount of fibers that don't cross over to the other side, right? So this was back. We were talking about this in the 90s about, like, does training on the contralateral side actually increase strength because of some of those things? So I would say there's definitely some merit to it. I don't know if that's the scientific reason. I would also throw in there, I think it's really funny when people say, like, single leg training and think that the rest of the body is just completely not involved. You know, like a rear foot elevated split squat is probably the most common one where we're talking about, you know, why can somebody lift, if you add up the weight that you can do on the left and the right on a rear foot elevated split squat, why can you do more than a back squat? Well, because you're using your entire body. You're not just using your left leg and then your right leg versus the two together. You know, when I do things like reverse lunges, rear foot elevated, I feel just as much on my moving leg, my lunging leg, than my plant leg. You know, so I think it's pretty fictitious to think that there's anything as a single leg. So I would say we write our programs very balanced. So absolutely we're working on the other side. What's the fear, right? We talked about this with the shoulders. What's the fear? That you get too strong on the other side?
Right.
Like, I'm not worried about that, so...
Right.
I think it's great. I think, yeah, you want to work on balance. We do it all the time. It's a normal part of our progression.
Yeah, definitely. And there is research that shows spraining your ankle, you have an ACL tear, you get proprioceptive deficits on the contralateral side.
Very good point.
Definitely recommend.
Yeah.
You know, contralateral training, if that's what you want to call it, for a contralateral injury.
That's a good story. Am I gonna go off topic? I'll go off topic. There's a good story by that. So in the early 2000s, we actually tried to start this study on proprioception. So what we were doing was we were trying to test, kids, you know, in Birmingham, we talk about Birmingham a lot, but in Birmingham, we covered like 35 sidelines every Friday night in high school football. So we had this like petri dish of kids that we could use. But what we did is if a kid tore their ACL on Friday, we tried to test them Saturday morning, and we tested their proprioception side to side. And we wanted to follow that to see if their proprioception changed. And what we found was the proprioception on the good leg went down too. So what happens sometimes is the good leg actually gets worse, and I don't know if there's some central mediation. We've kind of talked about that a little bit, if it goes down. But the funny story is it was very hard to get subjects for that, very hard to get people that wanted to come in like 6 hours after they tore their ACL. They're still depressed. You know, their football career, their high school football career is over, which is a pretty big thing in Alabama. But they were pretty depressed, and Georgia. Sorry, Gabe. They were pretty depressed, and we were trying to do this study and follow them up. So we had two subjects. You remember this? Were you part of this?
No,
was this before you?
Before.
So subject one was Kevin Wilkes' son, and subject two was Dr. Andrews' daughter. That's really all we did. I think we may have done a little bit more. So yeah, but it was super interesting. But we showed that proprioception, we were using the Biodex stability machine, kind of went down. So there's some sort of central mediation. So to make a long story long, yes.
We're good at that.
Gabe.
All right. Kelly Barber from Linwood, Washington. She asks, I'm a PTA and moved about 1 year ago. I worked at a privately owned outpatient PT clinic for 15 months prior to moving. This job was offered to me prior to graduation, therefore I did not have to apply or job search. My question is, how do I go about finding a job with a good fit?
Right. So Kelly, right?
Kelly,
PTA from Washington?
Washington.
Awesome. Thank you, Kelly. Good question. I like that.
So, Kelly, you settled on a job. Sounds like it's not a good fit right now.
Or is she moving?
I want to say this is... She worked at a place for 15 months, and now she's looking for another place?
Okay, all right. So I thought she was moving or something, but that's fine. Okay.
I mean,
right.
To me... friends, social media, you know, putting words out, trying to do research on what good clinics are. It's going to be difficult if you're moving or whatever, trying to find a clinic that fits you. I don't know what that means, fitting you, but what's your passion? What are you trying to get into sports medicine? Are you trying to get into a fast-paced clinic? I doubt it. You trying to get into physician-owned? Who knows? I mean, I don't know what the goal is, but social media and connections within the organization and going to meetings and talking to people, that might be a good avenue. And just word of mouth to me, and then visiting, you know, and just interviewing and visiting and spending a day with the clinic, get a good vibe on what's going on in the clinic and talking to the staff and just getting their ideas and their goals and how long they've been there. If they've been there 5, 10 years, that's a good sign that they're happy. I don't know if you have anything else, but you know, that's, if I was going back through the job search again, then that's something that I would do. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a challenge. I can't imagine, especially if it's a distance where if you're moving and you got to go somewhere else or fly there. And, I wish I had a better answer.
Yeah, I mean, as new grads, I'd say the majority of new grads, you get your positions you know, through clinical rotations or things you did in school. So they know you, you know them, and everybody knows it's a good fit. So that's where the majority of jobs come from. So I get where your question's coming from is that's the logical best fit. So now you have to do the reverse hack in my mind. So as an employer, you know, what do we do? I mean, well, we'll stalk you on Facebook for a little bit. We're going to look at your social media profiles to see what's your character like. What are your core values and stuff like that on social media. I think you should do the same thing. Check out their webpage. Do you believe in what they're saying? Look, but more importantly, try to find them on social media. Do they not have social media? I think that's a red flag nowadays, you know, but follow them. Follow their Twitter, follow their Instagram account and see what you can find and say, this does look like the culture I want. You know, can I learn from these people? Am I going to be stuck in a hole by myself? So, so tough one, but I mean, totally doable. And then I would also say too, like, it's okay being a free agent, you know, so find a place. If it's not the best fit, just keep looking. You can always keep looking and you'll find the fit. So, but yeah, no, good ideas from Len. Reach out to your friends, but I would say just do as much investigation on the place and see, is it a place you want to work at? You have to think mentally, you're kind of pre-interviewing them. You got to think of that. Is this a place I want to work? Not vice versa.
Yeah.
So different approach, but. Yeah. All right, Gabe.
All right. Josh Ellman from Fairfield, Ohio. What would be your keys to regaining range of motion for conservative treatments of FAI?
So how do you enrange your motion for conservative, so non-operative FAI, so femoral acetabular impingement, which is, I think, we're finding more and more common in people. Len's actually got a couple of people right now doing some post-op stuff.
We had him pre-op. I think in his head he had said he was having surgery. So I think pre-op, it's a lot of education, obviously letting them know that it's normal to have impingement, if you want to call it impingement, and that it's not a given that he's going to have surgery or she's going to have surgery, especially depending on the sport they get back to. But to me, I keep a simple approach. It's normal. It's restoring what range of motion I think they should have. I look contralateral side. I look at their function. I look at their sport. I look at them in squatting. I look at them doing – I'm an SFMA kind of guy, so I want to see if there's anything that jumps out. Are they compensating during a squat? They have tightness elsewhere. They have tightness in the low back. They have tightness in the thoracic spine. They have tightness in their ankle. What's their joint capsule like in their hip? If they have bony impingement, that's not something that we can overcome, but I think we can make efforts to work and improve some of their range of motion. They probably have some strength deficits. So working on some of that, and then getting them confident, getting them feeling like they're back, they're strong again, getting them trying to simulate their sport, whether they're running, cutting, jumping, pivoting, whatever they got to do, and then getting them the mental component, getting them confident in getting back to where they need to be. But a lot of hands-on stuff, a lot of soft tissue work, joint Mohs, and then, again, progress them through a strengthening program.
That was pretty thorough.
That was a lot.
That was how to rehab an FAI from start to finish right there. I would just say, too, remember that FAI is impingement, and maximizing their range of motion isn't always your goal, because the end range of their motion is probably some sort of impingement, either in their cam or pincer lesion or whatever, or you're hitting their acetabulum or their labrum, I should say. I think you got to be careful with that. So sometimes it's not maximizing the range of motion. I would rather, I'm going to flip your thought process and say, I want you to maximize their alignment is what I want you to have first. So if they have a huge anterior pelvic tilt, they're going to have reduced hip flexion range of motion. They're going to have some issues with that. So rather focus on just jamming them into hip flexion where you're just going to get impingement, I'd focus on getting them more posteriorly tilted, posterior dominant in there, so that way that frees up more available functional range of motion. So it's not just forcing it through their anatomy. There's a reason they're there. It's about, you know, maybe putting them in a better position to succeed.
Yeah. For example, doing a sumo squat versus a straightforward, slightly externally rotated squat. You may create a little more space in the hip to get a little deeper, to get potentially a little more strength gains and a deeper range of motion. For an example, you know, you don't always have to function in that single squat position. You need to find their range of motion that they are comfortable in and the available range of motion that's not going to further propagate the symptoms.
Yeah, work in their functional range. I think that maximize their functional range, not necessarily just jam them into end range. So. Is that it?
That was it.
Awesome. Jeez, that flew.
Yeah.
Flew.
Sweet.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate it so much. We're having a blast. I hope you guys are enjoying as well. We appreciate feedback. Give us some feedback. But more importantly, we need questions. We need reviews on iTunes. That's a big one for us. We want to get that up there so more people can get exposed to this and they can learn from us. Learn more about asking us questions and some stuff about us. MikeReinold.com/podcast, or you can ask us questions on Twitter using the hashtag AskMikeReinold. That's it.
If I've done, Empire Strikes Back.
That's right. It's Return of the Jedi next time.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReinold.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReinold.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.